Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
We are riding on the freeway of geekery, my friends, in my pink Cadillac. Hello, geeks. Today we've got a good discussion that I'm excited about getting back into on the subject of something we don't talk about a lot, but we use it every hour of every day. Email, specifically email marketing. And joining us today is David Kelly, General Manager of King Sumo. David, how are you? And welcome to Social Geek Radio.
Oh, I love it. It's so good to be here, Jack. Thank you so much for having me. As a geek at heart, I feel right at home, so I'm ready to dive in.
The geekery is strong with this one. So, awesome. So first I have to ask you, I don't know much about King Sumo yet, but I love the name. What's the story?
Yeah, so our brand King Sumo is actually part of Sumo Group, which some of your listeners might know, started by Noah Kagan. Sumo.com and AppSumo are our sister companies. And really, we built an entire enterprise on email marketing. So all three of our brands are heavily involved in email marketing. The concept with King Sumo specifically was, how can we help small businesses get more email subscribers, get more leads and more customers for the lowest cost possible? So these smaller businesses that don't necessarily have big budgets, how can we help them? And through King Sumo, we found out viral giveaways are the key to that answer. And that's what King Sumo helps with. And it's interesting because our larger Sumo Group company, so Sumo.com alone has about 1.5 million email subscribers. AppSumo has about 1.5 million email subscribers.
Wow.
So between those two brands, we're quite large with our email marketing. And we realized that for those two brands, it just worked. It worked really well. So our concept was, how do we create a product internally that satisfies our need to keep growing our email lists? And a few years ago, we came up with a concept for King Sumo. We tested it out with AppSumo and Sumo. So we dog fed our own product and then it worked. So we ended up launching to more and more people. And now we have a free product that anyone can use.
Cool. Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about email marketing in general first. So sure. A lot of people tell me that, you know, email marketing is dead or it's mostly dead. I would assume you're on the side of it's alive and thriving, right?
That's right. So I hear that a lot. And there actually are interesting parts about it because there are parts of email marketing that are more difficult and there are parts that are dead in a lot of ways. So email marketing doesn't work the way it used to. And I think that's true of any marketing channel. So I come from a marketing background, trying a lot of different marketing things. And really what I've noticed about marketing is there are a few things that work really well over time, but it's always changing. The landscape is constantly adjusting and new things are coming, old things are going. So how email is now is very different from 5 years ago. It's even very different from 3 years ago.
Yeah, and it will be very different 2 years from now. So let's start with the challenges, yeah. and then we'll get to what's working and some best practices and some success stories. But what are the biggest challenges that small businesses, especially, because it sounds like that's your focus, what are the biggest challenges that a small business owner has around email marketing?
I think two things happen. So the first is actually generating enough traffic to get email subscribers. So we've seen people put forms on their site and do all these best practices that can connect and get email subscribers to their list. But the truth is they just don't have enough traffic to drive the email subscribers. So really, it sounds weird to say from an email marketing perspective, but the first step of generating more email leads doesn't really have to do with email. It has to do with how can you get more traffic to your site? Mm-hmm. So Facebook ads is a great solution. I know you talk a lot about that on your podcast. Mm-hmm. Giveaways like King Sumo does is a great solution. SEO is potentially a good solution. Guest posting is a fantastic solution because you're leveraging other popular sites who are desperate for content in this world that just needs so much content all the time. So starting with how can I drive more traffic to my site is the first question. And then once that question starts getting answered, and it doesn't need to be perfect, but once it starts getting answered, that's when it's important to think about how can I turn this traffic into actual email subscribers.
Mm-hmm. And when they get to the site, is part of the ask typically the email address? So then it's part of the database, or do you have steps in between?
Yeah, we have a couple things we recommend for when someone comes to a website to generate more email subscribers. So Sumo.com, our sister company, has free list building tools that you can use to just put forms and pop-ups on your site. We notice that constantly split testing forms even if you're getting a small amount of traffic, is really valuable. So a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll put some email form, whether it's from sumo.com or some other product, they'll just put it on their site and kind of forget about it and be like, oh, this is great. This will just do the work automatically. What we've noticed is if we're testing, A/B testing opt-in copy or buttons or offers every week, that's 52 tests a year, which means that we're really increasing our chances to up our conversion rate. And at the end of the year, we're often 2 to 3 times X what a normal company would be that just doesn't test their opt-ins at all. So that's really critical to make sure that one does.
And then once you get a successful test and you're going with whatever the form or other call to action on the site is, what's the next step? How quickly will a recipient or someone who visited the site, how quickly will they hear from you?
We recommend really getting an onboarding series going. And I think people really do two things wrong with the welcome series or onboarding series or new user automation. There are a lot of different terms for it. But one of the things is they try to sell way too early. So it's like, hey, I have a new email subscriber. Here's my product. And it's like, I just found your website. I'm not going to buy your product. kind of like if I went on a first date and I was getting asked for like marriage after that first date, that'd be kind of weird.
Check, please. So,
exactly. So here's a really simple strategy a lot of people can do. One is set up a 3-email automation welcome onboarding series for your users. The first email can just be like a connection to the person behind the website. So, hi, I want to let you know, my name is David. This is my website. Here are 3 articles, for example, that I think you really like. Or just like, hey, I want to know why you joined my list. Reply back. That helps build an authentic connection to the person behind the brand. Then the second email is kind of setting the stage potentially for the product or the pitch in the third email. So a lot of people just need to feel that emotional connection. If there's an emotional connection I have to the brand, it's much easier than just like this high level visceral connection.
Sure.
That is more price sensitive, can just kind of waver with time. But the second email can be focused on how do I connect to the person so that they understand there's potentially a need for my product? How do I relate to them? So let's say I'm selling King Sumo tools, which we do. It could be something like, hey, we know list building is tough. Here are some tips just around list building to help you with list building. And then the third email can be like, hey, do you want even more help with list building? Here's our product. So the third email can be the pitch. And that's a really simple 3-part email series that anyone can do that actually goes along with the flow of how our user thinks.
And the second email is a pretty good setup because the fact that they went to that website, whether you're selling your products or you're selling, you know, ice cream, they went to that site for a reason. So to continue to talk about that subject is not going to scare somebody away too quickly, I would imagine.
Exactly. And there are a lot of people that you can study online. So I used to work for this guy named Ramit Sethi of the website Growth Lab, and he does a fantastic job with email copywriting. I also encourage people to just sign up for any type of blogs that they enjoy that are popular and just study their welcome and onboarding series. Mm-hmm. And know that you don't have to send like 14 emails to start, but it's interesting to see how the bigger guys and more successful guys just use tone and copy and think about just the process of what a user goes like when listening or watching or reading their content, whatever type of onboarding process they have.
I want to come back to the content discussion in just a minute, but first let's talk a little bit more about timing. So from the first, second, and third email or a part of the process that someone's in, what kind of timing are you looking at between then and when they get the next email and then the one after that? Is it daily, weekly, monthly? Like do you have sort of a set best practice that works?
What we've noticed is sending the first email almost immediately or immediately if possible is probably the best solution for a lot of people. So that keeps it at top of mind, especially if I sign up for something and then I get an email right away. I'm like, oh, cool. Like I'm getting this feedback directly as a user.
Yeah. While I'm still on your site and you just sent me an email, then that's probably pretty cool. I think you're very responsive, right?
Totally. And that's a really good point too, Jack, because then imagine the other side. if I don't send you the first welcome email, like, hello, my name is David, for 2 days, what would that be like? That'd be really weird.
Yeah, I would think it didn't work. And maybe I better go back and put my email address in again, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a technical question of it, which is like, hey, did this even work? Which can frustrate your users. And then there's just a weirdness aspect of why would that email take so long? So that's kind of a more obvious thing that I think a lot of your listeners probably know. I would say for the second, third email, I would wait a day for the second email. So send it pretty soon. And then I would wait 2 days for the third email. And the reason why I'd wait a little longer for the third email is when you're trying to emotionally connect to your users, sometimes the seed just needs like a little more time to plant. Mm-hmm. So if you give them a couple of days to just really reflect and maybe read the email that you sent them a couple of times for that second email specifically, it then potentially will make the third email even stronger. And that's what we've noticed with our tests. And I encourage users to test it out themselves. But we've noticed first email immediately, second email after 1 day, third email after 2 days.
Okay. Easy enough to remember. And then is there a fourth? If there's no action taken after three, do they go back into some sort of nurturing or some other type of nurturing, or are you staying with the emails?
Usually what happens, there are a couple philosophies on this. So as a company gets bigger, yes, I recommend potentially forking these people and doing like reactivation campaigns. Mm-hmm. What most people need to do, especially small businesses, is look, just set up a three series, simple, and then just do weekly emails with like updates about your products or updates about what you're doing with your business, or bi-weekly or even monthly. Mm-hmm. But the real key is don't run before you can walk. And I think a lot of people think of all these advanced things and then they get overwhelmed and then they just don't end up doing email marketing, or they get really excited, do it for a little bit and then stop. So I would much rather prefer, and we've seen this being more successful, sending less emails, but doing it in a sustainable manner. So sending an email every month to 2 weeks for a year, than sending like a bunch for a month and then just kind of forgetting about it.
Yeah.
It's much better for the business over time to be more sustainable.
Yeah. Do you feel that if you send too many emails too close together in a short period of time, that's when someone gets the perception that they're just being bombarded?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's a really good observation on marketing in general, where like it really the best marketing comes from having a really good product and explaining that product well, so people understand why they want it or why they need it. And if you're bombarding those people, like, yeah, it might help with sales in the short term, but really it's just like kind of a sleazy, scammy thing to do at times. And of course, there are nuances. Like some types of products might need a longer sales cycle. Some might need a shorter sales cycle. For example, if you're doing a flash sale and you really want to push sales and that has a hard deadline of ending, maybe you do five emails in 7 days. And I think it's okay in spades. I don't think there are necessarily black and white rules around that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't do it just nonstop for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So let's go back to content. What kinds of things seem to be working within the emails? Is it video? Is it images? Is it something else? What do you recommend overall?
We've seen all types of content work. We noticed that depending on the type of user, long emails can work very well. So when I was working for Meets AT, we sent really long emails and they worked phenomenally well because that was more of the audience type. And then for other people like our company right now, King Sumo and Noah Kagan's other companies, we send very short emails, right? Only a few paragraphs, and the paragraphs are quite short.
Yeah.
So the content can vary. What I would recommend to really understand what a listener's customer base is like is look at the content you're already using on your site. Look at what your competitors are doing. Maybe your industry has a lot of long content. Maybe it has a lot of short content. And then test that, as well as test different mediums. So maybe try sending a YouTube video. Maybe try sending an image. And I wouldn't say copying competitors is really the best way to success. But the reason why I mentioned that is because it's a great way to start. It's a great place to start. So you can start and test. And that's really how we've built a successful business. We look at, hey, what are others doing? Let's try it out and let's iterate to keep trying to get better.
Let's talk about some more best practices and actually maybe some trends with what you're seeing that's working.
Sure.
What what is happening in the world of chatbots and how is AI affecting what you guys are doing with emails now? Has that made a big impact this year, or is that a little further down the road? What do you see?
Chatbots are really fascinating. And I think the reason why chatbots are really fascinating are, from what we've seen data-wise, they get like 2 to 3 times the open rates on Facebook Messenger specifically, and click rates of email. So the early signs are incredibly positive. The thing to keep in mind with all types of marketing are there are these real big trends that come and then they just kind of like go away. They get destroyed or things change.
Yeah. So I wouldn't. Some marketer comes along and spoils the whole thing, don't they?
They always do. That's what us marketers are good at. We kind of exploit it in some ways, unfortunately, at times. But with chatbots, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good medium. And I would absolutely encourage people to try it out. A philosophy we have for testing marketing channels in general here at Sumer Group is that we try a few marketing channels every month and we see which ones stick, and then we just continually rotate, right? So this month, for example, we might try blog posting, we might try chatbots, we might try email marketing. We do those for a month, and the month timeframe gives us time to iterate on each of those channels during that time. And then at the end of the month, we revisit, we look at all the data and we say, hey, is this working well? Is this working not well? And if it isn't, we move on. And if it is, we keep doing it. And it isn't always clear, by the way. At the end of the month, we don't always have like a really strong, definite yes or no. This is so obvious. Sometimes it's more of a gut feeling, a gut reaction. Like, do we enjoy doing this? Are the signs that we see, are the data that we see, although limited, positive, or are they negative? And we'll adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other best practices, and maybe back to email specifically, is there anything that really seems to have changed, or something that seems to be working a lot more now than in the past?
I'll give two things that are kind of top of mind for me. And I think these are valuable for businesses that are potentially growing. So small to medium sized businesses, maybe in the 6 figures of revenue per year or more. And the first thing is Google AMP for Gmail. So a lot of people know about Google AMP. It's their mobile platform that Google is using to help serve pages a little cleaner mobily. They're also introducing some of those interactive features in email. And that means that there's going to be some like JavaScript type features that people have been really wanting for a long time. So it's not out quite yet. My understanding is a development like framework is out, but it hasn't been really pushed live. So I would encourage listeners to keep an eye on that. It could be a first mover advantage if people start really understanding that and using Google AMP. And it could be a way to drive more engagement because of those interactive features. So it's
very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And this second one is for larger lists. As you've been doing email marketing over time, make sure to keep careful eye on engagement in your active subscribers. So Gmail is getting more and more restrictive about showing people in the inbox, and they're decreasing the deliverability across Gmail, G Suite, and Google Inbox, which means that you just need to be more restrictive on who you send emails to. So for example, for sumo.com, we have a list of 1.5 million, for example, across all our subscribers. Our active sending list are usually only people who have opened or clicked an email or subscribed in the past 3 months, which is about 200,000 people. So we really cut it down because we want to make sure we're only sending to the best people. So we're always delivering into the Google inbox.
And do you feel like that number is sort of keeping you within the safe parameters of what Google wants to see as far as interaction?
Yep. I would say 3 to 6 month actives are the ones I would think about targeting. And you can see this in MailChimp, ConvertKit, a lot of those other ESPs out there. You can define the campaign activity. So anyone who's opened or clicked or subscribed in the past 3 to 6 months, I would focus on them. And anyone older than that, maybe do re-engagement campaigns, let's say like once every few months, and do potentially an aggressive one where you offer a sale or a deep discount to see if you can re-engage those people. But I would be cautious to send to them regularly.
Yeah, I think the good news there is, as the world changes in an accelerated manner, going back past people that you had some connection with more than 6 months ago, it probably doesn't make much business sense anyway. Unless it is in a B2B situation, you know, someone that there was some engagement with a couple of years ago, and like you said, you know, do something to reintroduce them to the brand. But let's face it, what people were doing 2 years ago, you know, as far as where they were working and what industry they were in, probably has changed a lot. So, so focusing, I think, on, you know, the past 3 to 6 months is probably not a bad thing for your business anyway. So
totally agree.
That's great advice, David. Thanks so much for that.
Thank you.
Is Social Geek Radio, and today's guest is David Kelly, and we're going to get a little bit more contact information from our guest in just a moment. But first, I did want to mention that today's episode of Social Geek Radio is brought to you by ClickTex. ClickTex is your team for website and digital marketing needs for franchise development and on the consumer side of your brand, working with over 100 franchise brands. Check them out at clicktex.com and make sure to tell them that Social Geek Radio sent you. So David, in the couple minutes we have left, give us some places where our listeners can go to ask you some more questions about email or other types of digital marketing. Is there any good place that you really like to connect with people?
For sure. So kingsumo.com is where you can find me. And you can also find me on dmkthinks.org, which is my personal blog. I also do clarity calls and all that stuff, which you can see on my blog, but my personal blog has some marketing tips and stuff like that. So
cool.
Feel free to check that out. David@kingsumo.com is my email address as well. So any questions about growing an email list or anything like that, feel free to reach out.
All right, cool. And we will put all of those links on the socialgeekradio.com page and on all of our Facebook and other social pages as well with this episode. David, thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jack. Like I said, it was a true honor as a fellow geek, so I'm glad to be here.
You are a true geek, my friend. Thanks so much and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.